Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Exhausted Mommy Show. Today is Monday, July 18th, 2016, and my name is Janice Lindstrom, and I am the mother of an almost three-year-old boy.
And I'm Amy Suniga, and I am the mom of an almost six-year-old girl and a three-year-old girl. And we're going to talk today about some of our stories, and we hope that you guys will share some of your stories. You can call us at 929-477-1288. Again, it's 929-477-1288. We started this show as a place for support for other moms. We know it's hard work to be a mom. It can be exhausting. So we hope that you guys will follow us on Twitter and Facebook as well at Exhausted Moms.
So we always like to start out the show. We really want to explore how to enjoy parenting, even though some parts of it may not be enjoyable. Parenting overall, it should be joyful. So let's try to bring that in. And we like to start off catching up with how we've been doing over the last month by sharing something enjoyable about being a mom and then something not so enjoyable. And I had a couple of moments. I always pick the most recent things that happened over this weekend. Yesterday specifically, my husband was out of the house for much of the day, so I was entertaining my son, sort of, by letting him watch videos on my phone on the YouTube Kids app. And I passed out on the couch and fell into this deep sleep that I could not drag myself out of. And I woke up after several hours. A long time. and he had knocked over his water all over our wooden coffee table. So the wood was all warped and discolored from the water. It was a lot. and so that was a less joyful moment. And then other things happened to follow that. It just felt like a comedy of errors. But on the good note, now my coffee table is much cleaner than it used to be, and my bathtub is a lot cleaner than it used to be, too. So there you go. And lately, Kyle, my son, has been just more loving. He'll come up to me and say, "I love you, Mommy." And he'll ask for a hug and a kiss before we part when, you know, like if I'm going to go out or something and or drop him off at daycare. And it's just really sweet to see that.
Well, I wanted to share a parenting win. I've been saving this up since it happened because I feel like these don't happen all the time. And so when they do, it feels so good. You want everyone to know. Also, I thought it was one of those random good ideas that came to me, and I thought I will share it with other parents because maybe they could use the same thing down the road. So my oldest daughter's in gymnastics, and she moved. The last summer, she moved from the preschool class to the all-day kindergarten class. Now she's going into first grade, and so there's a beginner elementary school class. So it's all kids from one all the way through sixth grade. But they're all beginners. But still, they're all different sizes and really abilities based on how old you are. And she doesn't like change very much anyway, so she really loves gymnastics, and she really wanted to do this class, but she also was very anxious about going into this class with bigger kids. She doesn't know the teacher. She doesn't know the kids, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, we got on the waiting list, and we got in way before I thought it was going to happen. So it sort of happened faster than she probably would have preferred because she doesn't like change. So anyway, the day before we went to her sister's class, like we always do, and she and I were waiting in the lobby, and we were talking about her new class, and she was telling me she doesn't want to go because she's so scared. But then she does want to go a little bit because she wants to learn more stuff. And so we talked to the person who runs the front desk about how the class would be different, what could she expect, blah, 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 trying to help her. And still she was completely at this, you know, like, I want to go, I don't want to go. I don't want to go, I want to go. And finally I was just trying to think of how to talk to her about it. And I just said, Eva, that's my big girl's name. I said, I know you have courage in there somewhere because I've seen it before. You went to kindergarten and you had never been to kindergarten before. like, you got to look inside yourself, look in your body and see if you can find it somewhere. And she's like, I can't find it, Mom. And I was like, it's in there. You might have to dig deep. You may have to go all the way down to your pinky toe. So, you know, she's five. So I started making light of it. Like, it's got to be in that body somewhere. Let's find it. And so the next night we went to gymnastics and we came out. She came out and she was so happy. She had loved it. It was so much fun. And she said, I said, oh, I'm so glad you had a good time. Where did you end up finding that courage anyway? And she said, she pointed to her head, Mom, it was right here all along. And I was just so proud of her, and I felt so good. And it was so cute, too, because she said, how did you know it was in there? So I could tell her all the other times that she had tried something new and was brave. And so I just felt like it was so fun to do that with her little body, because I think it gave her a concrete place to focus and try to find it and to know that she really could do it, even though she felt a little bit scared. So that was my one I've been saving up.
That's beautiful. And so usually we tape any shows that my son wants to watch on TV, and it's mostly Curious George. And we've tried a few other of the PBS Kids shows, but he's like would only really ask for Curious George. But the last 2 days, there's been like an advertisement for Daniel Tiger in the middle of the Curious George episode. So he's been asking for Daniel Tiger. So I was looking for it so I could record that. And I found that PBS, at least in our area, is broadcasting Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood at like 5 a.m. on Sunday mornings. So I recorded that one, and the one for this past weekend, it was on Brave and Strong. And it was about him going to get a vaccination, which was really useful because we're going to have to do that pretty soon, too. So I got to kind of look and see what a doctor visit was like. And it gives me a place to talk about that. And Daniel Tiger, the original Daniel Tiger, was having to deal with some problem, something about cereal falling onto his house. It's a big pile. I didn't really get that part. But he had to have courage. And so they talked about and sang a little song about finding the courage and braveness inside you, even though you didn't feel it at the time. So that's really neat. So that's like two messages that are the same that have come into my life. So, oh gosh, I'm going to have to be brave soon, aren't I? Anyway. So our topic this week is what to do with your kids when you have nothing to do, which is maybe a little late in the game for some of you who've had kids off all summer, but it's timely for me because he's about to end his daycare at the end of the month and have a couple weeks off. And plus, I tend to spend all of my time with him just sleeping and letting him watch videos, which I know that's not the best way to have your kids spending, you know, 3 hours of screen time, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. So this is a good topic for me. I'm going to let Amy share her wisdom as a more experienced parent.
Wow, thank you. That was such a great introduction. But I'm not sure. This is actually a really interesting topic because I wonder how much of this has to do with us as parents and our personalities and styles and our kids and their personalities and styles, because I feel like I was sharing with Janice before the show, I feel like I filled up our summer with too much stuff and I wish we had more downtime, but that's because I like downtime. And so I don't like to be busy all the time. And I like my kids to have downtime where I feel like they're free to do their own thing and play with their own things and use their own imaginations. But I also know my kids like their downtime. So I'm not sure how helpful that is to other parents, because I think some other kids need a lot more activity in their life. And so even the downtime needs to be more active. Like even if it's at home all day, it needs more activity than just go play by yourself for 3 hours and then come downstairs because you're starving and mommy forgot, oh, yeah, it is 11, it's time to eat. let me get up. I was thinking more than just, like, things that people could do outside of the home. Because there is that stuff. I mean, there's even free stuff, going to the library. And we're in Texas where it is now almost 100 degrees every day. So it's really hard to get outside during the day unless you're going to a pool or a splash park. Sometimes when you go out first thing in the morning, at least it's only 85. It still feels very muggy and 85, but it's not dangerously hot. So if you do, I do think it's important for kids to get outside during the day. So that's a good time for us. If you live in a much more mild climate in the summer, I'm sure you can think of more activities to do outside in the summertime. I wonder about even just creating some kind of routine for the day that you're at home, even if it's not, like, we're going to do crafts from 10 to 11. But maybe if it's more like in the mornings we go outside after breakfast for some amount of time, and then we come back in and we have some quiet time in the house or rambunctious time in the house, whatever you need. Then we have lunch. Then we do this. Just so kids, I don't know if that helps people get through the summer, just so kids don't, you're going to hear a lot of I'm bored. I already hear a lot of I'm bored. I hear I'm bored from a three-year-old who doesn't know what bored is except that her sister says she's bored. So I get to hear a lot of that. But boredom's also good for kids. It's good for them to learn how to occupy their own time without being entertained all the time, which I think is hard for us as a society.
I've read research recently that says that kids need to be bored to allow their imaginations to work. And that's how we invent wonderful things. And routine, I know, is really important for me. It's important for my kid. But my energy level is so different from his. And my need for downtime is much different than his need for downtime. So that's a struggle for me. What do you do when you go outside after breakfast?
I think another trap that we fall in as parents is we think we have to be our kids' entertainment. But it turns out we don't have to entertain them. So if you go outside with them, even if they want you to run around and chase them the whole time, maybe there could be another game that they could just do where you don't have to chase them and run around all the time, where they can play and run and just do their own thing. Even outside, they can sort of entertain themselves with creative things, especially if you have any stuff that you can take outside, like, I ended up buying these bean bags for my kids, and they love them. It's amazing what they decide to do with bean bags. I have sidewalk chalk, and I have bean bags. And I actually did buy from the dollar store some cones, like tiny miniature traffic cones. They've invented all kinds of games about throwing bean bags into a circle and doing all this. So even if I play with them in that game, it's not the same as me chasing them around the yard. Also, I have girls, too, that don't have high energy. So I wonder how much of what works for me would work for other people. But I am trying to think of ways that, you know, if you just have a few props that would suggest you could do something with this. And also, he's about to be three. Three is really going to be a leap ahead in independence, where I think you will be able to do more like props where they can decide what to play. That sort of a thing. That's what I'm thinking. You know, wading pools are good if you're going to be out there supervising. Water's magical for kids.
Good sensory input.
It's totally just magical.
Yeah. So we're slow morning people. I am a slow morning person. I have to sit for a long time and just drink coffee. But I think if I could maybe adjust and get us out the door, I mean, we have a nice enclosed backyard even, where he could ride a riding toy. And I think he'll play in the backyard. But usually I have to play with him for about 10 minutes and then he'll go off and do something on his own. I can do things for 10 minutes. I think my problem in my head, I feel like I should do crafts and whatever, and I'm not a craft person. I don't know. So I think maybe not having unusual expectations that I place on myself that come from nobody else, just my imagination in my head.
Yeah. That other perfect mommy that we were supposed to be. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that one.
But it turns out that's actually not best. It's not, like you were just saying a few minutes ago, for them to create their own game, for them to create their own play, it's way more beneficial for them than what we would think of for them to create and play. Because for many of us, we've stopped being so creative as adults because now we know how things are supposed to be. So if I provide a craft that's supposed to be a butterfly, well, I have an idea in my head about how you make a butterfly, and so I'm going to instruct you on the proper ways to make a butterfly, where a kid could just take a piece of paper and fold it in half and fly it around the room and think it's a butterfly. They don't necessarily think like we do about how everything is supposed to be, and that's good for them. Then they can explore and create. When you were talking about your coffee, I drink my coffee sometimes outside on the porch because I'm with you. I need some downtime, so sometimes, and the morning is one of those times I do not wake up ready to face the world. I need a transition. Luckily, my oldest daughter, who wakes up really early, also needs her own transition, so she can pretty much do her own thing. She's trying to learn how to make toast in the morning so that she can just, because I don't feed her in the morning. No, she wants to do it herself so that she can get up, make her toast, get her water. She knows how to get a glass of ice water, and have her morning routine that she wants to have, which is pretty cute. But, I don't think as parents we have to feel that pressure. It's not our job to be our kid's best friend. It's not our job to play with them all the time. It's our job just to provide a space for them to be able to do it, and maybe some props. My thing is I never want to change out the props, and they have too many toys. And I know you're supposed to rotate. See, again, there's that perfect mom again. That perfect mom out there, she rotates all the toys so her kids never get bored. I'm not that mom. But I tell you what, I put some toys away in a closet that I actually intended on donating that never made it to the donation center, but the kids found them, and then yesterday they had new toys to play with. And I was like, oh, well, that was pretty easy. Although I would prefer to get them out of my house. At least the kids had found something new to do, and they weren't so bored with that elusive worm. Yes. I find I have to put the giveaway stuff in my car as opposed to a closet. And then it still took me, I don't know, a month before I made myself drive by a donation place. So you said that you were feeling overscheduled this summer. Where do you think you went wrong with that? Well, it turns out there's a lot of fun things out there to do. Some of them, as my kids have gotten older, I actually find that I find some more things fun than I used to with the caretaking of small children. A lot of it didn't seem as fun. But, for example, we've always had, my neighborhood has tennis for little kids, which is really cute. And we've always done that and then hung out with our friends in the neighborhood. Well, now the neighborhood pool's open, so we do that and go to the pool on Tuesday. But then my other daughter already has gymnastics on Tuesday morning. I work on Monday and Wednesday, so I'm at work on those days. And then Thursday, we thought it was going to be this, I say we as if my kids got any choice in this. I decided it was going to be really fun for us to sign up for this movie club, which is fun, but then it's like every day we have something except on Fridays, and I tried to commit myself to doing something on Friday with one of my girlfriends, and I finally had to say, we're going to have to pick a different day because I cannot be committed to all these activities every single day. Part of what I wanted for my kids for the summer, because I didn't send them to school this summer, was for them not to be busy at school every day of the summer.
Right. So I noticed, like, my sister's kids, her kids are older quite a bit than mine. And they have, like, swim lessons and gymnastic camp, and they have summer work, school work that they have to do. And all of these different things. And I always wonder, how do you fit everything in? Because, yes, I think all of those things sound like fun. And I've heard that people try to limit their kid to one extra activity a season or at a time, I guess. We're big into soccer, and my kid is showing some interest in soccer and also basketball and softball. And I really want him to take piano lessons when he's old enough for that. So I am already worried, because I like to worry about things ahead of time, because that's useful. About signing him up for too many things at once. Because I think he'd also like, you know, like martial arts and all these other things, the swim lessons. And so it's hard to know how to stop the need to sign your kid up so they won't miss out on experiences that will be wonderful for them.
Yeah.
I mean, we're running into that. My oldest daughter's going to be in first grade, and she does gymnastics, which she loves. But then through her school, she has an opportunity to do some piano lessons after school one day, which is awesome. And I think she would love that. So I talked to her about that. She does want to do that. So I said, okay to that. Well, she would also like to do dance. She would also like, which also turns out to be very expensive. These also add up to the checkbook or the bank account or whatever, the debit card, whatever you use. And then tennis is in our neighborhood, which that one's really for me. So, because I hang out with my other mommy friends whose kids play tennis together, and we can just sort of relax and catch up during tennis day. So I really don't want to give that one up. But maybe she doesn't have to play tennis for me to still have that. I don't know. But it does. It's like all of a sudden you feel like there's all these things. But then I guess the other part of that I have to keep reminding myself is that she doesn't have to do them all today.
Right.
So she's really into gymnastics right now. I'm going to let her keep doing that. If she decides against it, you know, then we'll move on to something else. If she wants to stick with it and go to the Olympics, she's really into the Olympic gymnastics stuff right now. We watch the trials. She loves it. Then, you know, that would be something we would have to I'll have to worry about at another time. I'm not sure that would really be the case. But, you know, like if she really wants to get better at it and get more serious. That was another thing. When we move up in the little schedule, it's like, they start going to 2 days a week practice and all that. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And she's 5, almost 6. And she goes to school and she has to sleep and she does need free time. Like, they do need free time too, don't we all? So yeah, fighting that urge to overschedule, it's really a lot. And it's not just pressure, like, pressure we should be that kind of family because that's better. It's pressure because you think your kid would like it. Mm-hmm. So you want to give them all those experiences. But maybe they don't have to do them all today. Maybe they could try dance in, you know, a few years if she's not so interested in piano, or if she turns out not to really like tennis anymore, or whatever it might be.
Except I think piano education is essential for human development, so don't drop that.
I think she's actually going to probably love that the most. And so that's why, man, it's through the school. I love you. Well, public school that has piano lessons after.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Good public school. Man. Anyway, that's my own bias. But it's actually based in science, so you should all get your kids involved in music making. Even if it's just at home and not a formal lesson. That's another story. So we're coming up to the end of the show, and August. What are we talking about in August?
Who knows? What are we talking about in August?
So we're going to talk about the How to Form a Mommy Group.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're doing this Exhausted Mom Support Group because, you know, I often feel exhausted. And I don't feel like we can survive on our own. So, and I also don't have like a automatic mommy group to be a part of. I don't have like all of my friends having kids at the same time because
none of my friends are having kids, or they've already done their kid thing. It's either or. It's not. They're not at the same time as me. So forming this group of other moms, I have to work at it. And I know that there are some moms who may not be in a big city the way that I am and have an even tougher time finding support. That's why we're doing this virtual support group. And next week we'll talk about how to maybe create a support group in person, because I think that's important as well. That's our topic for next month. We haven't scheduled it yet, but look for it. If you follow me on Twitter, at Exhausted Moms, you can find it there. Most of the time, I'll try to update that Twitter account, but if you don't, then you can follow me at Janice Lindstrom, and I'll definitely have it there.
We're still working on getting this support group situated, so we'll share all our tips with you.
And if you have any suggestions for us or questions or comments or topics that you're interested in, then you can email us at exhaustedmommies@gmail.com. And then you can also reach us through Twitter or Facebook at Exhausted Moms. And I do get notifications for those accounts. Even if I don't actually post anything, I still see everything.
So.
And we will respond. So we appreciate you listening to the show, and we will talk next month about how to form an exhausted mommy group, or how to form a mommy group when you're exhausted.
That's probably the way that it's going to work out. You're too exhausted to form one. That's why you don't have one yet. So let's figure out how to help with that.
And then we might add in some back-to-school tips as well. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you have a wonderful month. Go play with your kid and make a routine for the empty days when you haven't overscheduled it.